From there, Nye steered his car northward along raw country roads. As he neared the Hickok farm, he stopped at several neighboring homesteads, ostensibly to ask directions, actually to make inquiries concerning the suspect. One farmer's wife said, "Dick Hickok. Don't talk to me about Dick Hickok. If ever I met the devil." Steal? Steal the weights off a dead man's eyes. His mother, though, Eunice, she's a fine woman. Heart big as a barn. His daddy, too. Both of them plain, honest people. Dick would have gone to jail more times than you can count, except nobody around here ever wanted to prosecute. Out of respect for his folks. Dusk had fallen when Nye knocked at the door of Walter Hickok's weather-grade four-room farmhouse. It was as though some such visit had been expected. Mr. Hickok invited the detective into the kitchen, and Mrs. Hickok offered him coffee. Perhaps if they had known the true meaning of the caller's presence, the reception tendered him would have been less gracious, more guarded. But they did not know, and during the hours the three sat conversing, the name Clutter was never mentioned, or the word murder. The parents accepted what Nye implied, that parole violation and financial fraud were all that motivated his pursuit of their son. Dick brought him, Perry, home one evening, and told us he was a friend just off a bus from Las Vegas, and he wanted to know couldn't he sleep here. "Stay here a while," Mrs. Hickok said. "No, sir, I wouldn't have him in the house. One look and I saw what he was. With his perfume and his oily hair, it was clear as day where Dick had met him. According to the conditions of his parole, he wasn't supposed to associate with anybody he'd met up there. Lansing. I warned Dick, but he wouldn't listen. He found a room for his friend at the Hotel Olathe, in Olathe, and after that, Dick was with him every spare minute. Once they went off on a weekend trip. Mr. Nye, certain as I'm sitting here, Perry Smith was the one put him up to writing them checks." Nye shut his notebook and put his pen in his pocket, and both his hands as well, for his hands were shaking from excitement. "Now, on this weekend trip, where did they go?" "Fort Scott," Mr. Hickok said, naming a Kansas town with a military history. "The way I understood it, Perry Smith has a sister lives in Fort Scott. She was supposed to be holding a piece of money belonged to him. $1,500 was the sum mentioned. That was the main reason he'd come to Kansas, to collect this money his sister was holding. So Dick drove him down there to get it. It was only an overnight trip. He was back home a little before noon Sunday. Time for Sunday dinner." "I see," said Nye. "An overnight trip. Which means they left here sometime Saturday. That would be Saturday, November 14th? The old man agreed. "And returned Sunday, November 15th? Sunday noon. Nye pondered the mathematics involved and was encouraged by the conclusion he came to, that within a time span of 20 or 24 hours, the suspects could have made a round-trip journey of rather more than 800 miles, and in the process, murder four people. "Now, Mr. Hickok," Nye said, "on Sunday, when your son came home, was he alone, or was Perry Smith with him?" "No, he was alone. He said he'd left Perry off at the Hotel Olathe." Nye, whose normal voice is cuttingly nasal and naturally intimidating, was attempting a subdued timbre, a disarming throwaway style. "And do you remember, did anything in his manner strike you as unusual? Different?" "Who?" "Your son." "When?" "When he returned from Fort Scott." Mr. Hickok ruminated. Then he said, He seemed the same as ever.